You see something on page 31 that came up here? Something pops to your eye? Some people see it right away, others don't see it. There is a new wall there. And that is around the Lord Jesus, because there is no dealing with evil in the Lord Jesus. God is a holy God. Be holy, for I am holy, as I am holy. So, the Lord Jesus cannot have fellowship with that. And we turn the page, we compare it with the beginning, we just have a little check with what we had in the beginning, if that would lead us to that, and we see, no, it's totally different. Outwardly, there seems to be a little certain unity, but this unity is fabricated through an indifference towards evil, and this is very bad. Totally wrong. The scripture verse here is, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what part has the believer with unbeliever? We cannot come to unity through this way. Consequently, it is not a unity according to God around the Lord Jesus. We turn the page and we check out option number two. Option number two was what? Living out the unity by separating from evil. And that leads us right away to that wonderful teaching of 2 Timothy chapter 2. When we read here, starting from the top, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Saints, this is interesting. Vessels in Scripture speak of people. Gold and silver resist the trying fire of God. Wooden clay does not. So we have people that resist the searching eye of God, the trying fire of God. We would say these are believers. Gold and silver, righteousness of God, silver, redemption. We see those images and we conclude that speaking here of believers. Clay and wood will fade away, will not withstand the fires, unbelievers. Some are to honor, some to dishonor. Which one are to honor? Which one to dishonor? Well, without faith it is impossible to please God, so the unbelievers are to dishonor. And the believers are to honor. Well, always? No. Not always. Sometimes, it's a question of usage. Sometimes, if the vessel is used in the wrong way, it can get dirty. It can be to the dishonor. So there are even believers that we might have to consider as vessels of dishonor. Now, there is a condition. We read this. He will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. This is what we would like to be. This is what we'd like to be. But there is a condition. The condition is this. If anyone, therefore, cleanse himself from the latter. We have here the New King James that we use, but I will prefer the Old King James in that case. Because it says, if therefore someone purge himself from these. And why do I say this? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we have the same word used as here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we had this guy that I was speaking about, the man that was called a brother, living in sin, and then the Apostle Paul had to say to the Corinthians, he had to say, listen, you purge out the old leaven so that you might be a new lump. That means you have to put him out of fellowship, you have to excommunicate him, and those that are outside, and that is outside Christianity, those God judges. Outside Christianity, you heard me right. There was only the assembly, and when somebody was put out, he was put on the ground of the pagans. And he was judged by God. That was a very serious and solemn thing. And today, these divisions and the different churches now, they have rendered church discipline almost impossible. Because now I get put out here, then I hop to the next church, and I'm right in again. And you see the problem that divisions have brought. Purge out the old leaven. This is when you can set an assembly in order. But if I find myself in a place, as we have seen before, those circles where there's several people living in sin, there's a few unbelievers in between, the pastor is a Christian yet, but he does not put order in the church, and the saints don't do that, what am I to do? I will start talk to the pastor. I will say, listen, I see the pastor, it's a gift, not an office. He goes like, what? And explain, and then all the other things. I try to put things in order. You know what happens? I will find myself pretty much outside. I'm not going to stay there. They will probably help me to leave. That's the reality. But I don't start by leaving. I see my brothers and sisters whom I love, and I want to help them because I see now something that they don't see. And therefore, I don't just leave. I try to change things. I try to help that order would be restored, like in 1 Corinthians 5. And now I see I have come in a situation of 2 Timothy 2, where I cannot put order. There is so much confusion that now I myself have to purge myself from these in all humility. Same word. So interesting. One is excommunication, when you can set things in order. The other one is leaving yourself, because you cannot put things in order in that confusion. We turn the page, and we just do it in a theoretical way. We just say, okay, everybody got it now. All the believers got it, and they are all coming out. On page 37, you see how that would look like. They hear the call, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Not only negative, but then also positive. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with, interesting, with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Because you know what goes through the mind of somebody who is in the church like that? He has his family there, he's there, and he has never heard of anything like people coming to the name of the Lord Jesus, and they just see, thank you very much. And he now sees, I have to leave. 2 Timothy 2 tells me that. I cannot change it. But if I go out, I'll be alone. I'll just be alone. And then you can read that. No, it says, with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. There are always those 7,000 that have not bowed down to Baal. There are always those that the Lord has kept. And he comes out and he sees there's others. And saints, our forefathers did this. Brother Darby was an Anglican minister. He came out. And others came out. And they realized for the first time, they said, we are able, we can do this. We can just come in a living room and we can take the bread and the wine. And any brother could just break it, following the example of the Lord Jesus. And we can do that in that simple way. Why don't we start next Sunday? And they did that. How exciting. And we still try to do that in the same spirit and the same simplicity. And now we turn the page and we compare it with the beginning. If all we're doing this and following what Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 2, and we fade a little bit away, now the denominations in the background, we see, wow, we are around, one around the Lord Jesus. There's this wonderful verse in 1 Peter 1, since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love for the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. That verse is summarizing so much of what we see in the spirit in which that should be done. So they are one around the Lord Jesus. It is possible even today to live out the unity of the church around the Lord Jesus. It is possible, saints. And we are privileged to do this. I trust.